Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
There we go.
No. No, you're not on.
Inferior.
Yeah, no one
there
really.
There we go. Now we're ready to begin our Star Trek interview with
George Takei.
What was your name again, young man?
Will Wheaton.
Ah, yes. Will Wheaton.
Remember how he crashed and burned on the gaming and like the gaming front? Like, no one's heard hide nor hair of him in tabletop for a long ass time.
That's true. What happened to that show he was doing?
I think he did get it crowdfunded, but then it's like after that, nothing really came of it. Well, I think it also the board game market has now
been saturated as fuck.
Yeah, it's not as hot as it used to be. It used to be hot, like you couldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, but now it's cooled off quite a bit. You got the people who are like everything. You got speculators now, and it's, you know, people buying up the games because they think they're hot and then reselling them. And people are like, I don't want to deal with this. There's lots of other games that I can play. And so it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare of things. And Will Wheaton was caught in the center of it.
What a terrible day to be Will Wheaton.
You know, and he also like built his entire persona around that. Like, he was one of those, like, the big three of nerdy, of like we're nerds. And, you know, after 10 years, it kind of gets old. So, and when your whole thing is like board games, it's like those people who claim to be like the mouthpieces for video games, and then they just age out of it, and then they're just sad. You're like, oh, it's nice. Don't you wanna do something with your life now?
Yes, like me, George Takei.
George Takei's had a wide and varied career.
He has.
He played like an Indian, like a Native American in a movie. I think it was The Searchers.
Oh, he took a job from one of the Italians, I see.
Yeah, yeah. The the Italians. I get that reference.
Most Native Americans that anyone's ever seen in a film have been played by an Italian person.
Hey, oh, whoa, Sitting Bull. Why don't you sit your way back to the line?
Just like, what's his face? The Indian with the single
tear. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Big, that guy, also Italian.
Big Chief crying at garbage.
Oh, my.
In case you can't tell, folks, this is Game Classy, and this is going to be another terrible cast.
All right.
Right. First of all, I'm going to start off by, well, I'm not starting off, but I guess the next segue will be complaining about Australia, Steve.
Australia.
I'm going to complain about Australia.
All right.
That
I'm
that
interested.
Island country continent that can't decide whether it is an island, a country, or a continent of thieves, of indentured servants.
I believe
servants.
You meant to say thieves.
Thieves.
They're on a bunch of thieves.
Oh. You get sent down there to Vandeman's land. I've been selling all my shit on eBay, like a shit ton of it, and I sold all my Dust Tactics stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, a big lot, $300. And I always put specifically on my auctions, I do not ship internationally. You know, there are places where it's okay to ship to. UK, it's fairly easy to ship to the UK. Mm-hmm. Canada, you know, great. I won't ship to Italy or Romania because it's full of thieves. But
there's a bunch of thieves over there.
You know, but you should know this because you probably do eBay. What's the most expensive
place?
We
actually have two eBay auctions going right now. The Brush Bunny Nicole. There's the Sigmarines, the Stormcast, and Iron Jaws Warbands.
Yeah.
Those are available. And they are both do not ship outside of the domestic United States.
Yeah. Well, what's the most expensive place in the world to ship to?
Probably somewhere obscure in Asia.
No, it's Australia. It's always Australia is the most expensive place to ship to.
Even more than New Zealand? Or Tasmania?
Well, let's just face it. New Zealand is kind of just like, you know,
I heard it's Australia 2.0.
Oh, yeah. Australia's vestigial tale. The much nicer version of Australia. It's like, it's Australia's Canada. How about that? Let's just put it that way.
Ooh, all right.
Is that a good
I like
enough?
That.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, you just say everything with an I vowel.
Plus, Kiwi birds are fucking adorable.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're stupid.
Kiwi birds are fucking cute as shit.
They deserve to be extinct.
You are so terrible.
You like the new gross waffle fries at the Hollywood Palms, and you don't like kiwi birds. You're an inhuman monster.
They're stupid. I don't deserve to live.
I fucking love kiwi birds.
Like koalas. Just
koalas are vicious.
Chlamydia breeding grounds.
Well, if Australians stop fucking koalas, what would be the problem?
What would be the problem? No, so I say that specifically. So this guy bids on it. And I'm like, why the fuck are you bidding? And like, I look at his profile because I wanted to make sure, you know, is he, you know, where's he from? What's his thing on there? Because this is a big auction. And he says he's from Australia. And I'm like, dude, I message him. I'm like, dude, I don't ship to Australia. And he's like, I'm like, it's going to be expensive as fuck to ship to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, no worries, mate. I'll take care of it. I imagine that's what he wrote.
Yeah.
So sure enough, after the end of the auction, I said, I'm going to charge you $100 flat for the shipping right now. And anything higher than that, I'm going to let you know. And, you know, just to be fair. And he's like, no worries. So sure enough, the auction ended. He pays right away. No worries on that. I go in. It costs $300 to ship all the shit to Australia.
Jeez.
It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. So it's as much as the auction he paid for to ship it. So, And then, so of course he's like, I don't want to pay that. And so I refunded him. I'm like, motherfucker, you know, you got to do this to me. I got to pack all this shit up and take it to the UPS or the post office, which is cheaper than UPS to ship to Australia. And I was like, motherfucker, I hate this island. I hate this island country continent.
Well, I got to offer U.S. shipping only and then free shipping. That's the thing on the Brush Money Nicole's two eBay auctions. Both are free shipping.
Yeah, well, normally I would. But you know what? You know why I don't do free shipping? Because I want people to know that what I'm doing is I'm doing priority, and I do it tracked. So that way, no issues. I never have any issues with it.
Well, I mean, FedEx is automatically tracked, and we do signature confirmation. Everything is done to avoid blowouts because I've had international shipping. Once it leaves the U.S., like, it's up in the air. If they say they never got it, you're host.
It's that socialist European postal system they have there.
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't have to go to Europe. Anywhere outside of the United States, if it leaves the country, as soon as it's out of the country, whoever you send it to can just be like, I didn't get it, and because the tracking doesn't work.
Yeah.
And eBay will just, and eBay will always find in their favor.
I could have delivered the post.
So that's why you...
But it was too hot outside. I'm going to drink wine and make love to my wife.
I mean, I would do that instead of delivering the post. I would make love to that Frenchman's wife.
These snails, they are garlicky.
I actually like escargot. It's pretty good.
Never had it. I wouldn't mind trying it.
But I can't think of anything it's like, but it's very fucking garlicky.
I've just been told it's like a garlicky oyster.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's a pretty good, that's an apt comparison. Although it's warm, oysters are cold.
Yeah. Unless you get an Oysters Rockefeller.
That looks so gross, I never want to eat one.
What, the big thing where you got all the cheese and breadcrumbs on top of the oyster?
Yeah, I'm out. And there's like mayo and stuff.
No.
Whatever the case is, I'm out. I like plain, just half shell with a little bit of cocktail sauce and some lemon. That's good too. I'm on the Kiss plan when it comes to oysters.
What about Clams Casino?
I don't want Clams Casino. What is it from? Someone eats it and gets sick, right? Is it Seinfeld?
Probably.
I think it was Seinfeld. He's like, I shouldn't have gotten the Clams Casino. And he's like super sick.
I think that there's
I'm pretty sure that George eats it.
Probably. I think there's a Dick Tracy villain named Clams Casino.
That's awesome.
And I'm not 100% sure.
A giant clam. Did they ever reveal why Dick Tracy's villains were all like mutant monsters?
No.
Was it nuclear waste? Is Dick Tracy actually a gritty post-apocalyptic story?
Was it Dick Fosbury? Was that the guy who used to do Dick Tracy?
Idea.
God, I was just talking about this with Kevin and about like newspaper comic strips, because that's like a weird obsession me and him both have, are like how shitty and terrible newspaper comic strips have been since like their inception, but yet there it's an American art form that still continues to this day. Like, who the fuck?
I mean, Far Side's pretty funny.
Yeah, but I mean, that was like a brief. Far Side and Kellen and Hobbes were like a brief glory in the midst of all this shit. Like, who reads?
How dare you disparage Garfield?
Well, I love Garfield because Garfield was actually written as like the guy. Jim Davis was like, I'm going to create something just to make money off of, and it's not going to be funny. Like, he's legit said, like, this is not designed to be funny. And sure enough, he made like $1 billion off of it and does not give a
aesthetic,
fuck.
Aesthetic, man. The aesthetic is really good. Like, the little kid's cartoon show. Like, the character, it's just like Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, the character looks so appealing, you can get away with so much bullshit
hey,
because...
Hey, Sonic says this is a Christian Minecraft server.
No swearing on this server.
No swearing on this server. No swearing on this podcast. This is a Christian podcast.
Jesus Christ.
excuse me. But yeah, it's like no one reads BC. Who reads like the Wizard of Id and BC actually cares about it? And there's such like shitty, like you don't realize it when you're a kid growing up, but like some of these comics have like these weird Christian overtones, like fucking High and Lois and One Big Happy. Like they're awful. Awful fucking comics for awful fucking people. But yet I can't get enough of like reading how shitty they are.
Oh, I liked Foxtrot when I was little.
Yeah, Foxtrot's another one. Foxtrot is like fucking the Big Bang Theory of comic strips.
Well, I liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, of course. It's like you probably would have liked Big Bang Theory if you were a kid.
As much as I hate to admit it, probably.
I know. Sometimes people just don't know if something is bad. Sometimes people just don't have taste. And so they like they like Big Bang Theory, and I'm never going to yell at someone in public I'm never going to yell at someone for liking Big Bang Theory unless they're a very close friend and I could be honest with them. Like if
and just tell them how terrible of a person they are.
Yeah, like if it was Pat B. I know Pat B doesn't like it, but if Pat B said, "You know what I like? I liked Big Bang Theory." I'd say like, "Sit.
Listen here, you little shit.
Hey, listen here.
I have over 500 confirmed kills."
Yeah, it's like you're not going to get that way.
It was completely appealing because it was like a little nerd kid who played fucking video games and D&D. So it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, ah, oh, they're talking about things I understand. Exactly. I get reference. It's like why I liked Kevin Smith when I was a teenager. He talked about Star Wars. That's what I talked
about.
And
dick and fart jokes.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I still love Mallrats. I can quote Mallrats backwards and forwards. It's not a good movie, but I still love it.
The Stink Palm.
Stink Palm.
Stink Palm's pretty good. They're a little melty, but boy, are they exquisite.
Damn, are they exquisite. What does that leave you? A grown man with his hand down his pants? Must look just like my father.
Hartford beating the whale?
It happens once, maybe twice in a lifetime.
That movie is really bad.
It is, but
it's got some good lines.
Infinitely quotable. Yep. Infinitely
and
quotable.
And it's got some good lines. Well, I think it's a lot of Kevin Smith's movies. It's like the movie is actually bad, but the quotes are there.
Well, yeah, he himself admits that he's fully a writer first and a director second. That's where he shines is in the writing. He should just write movies and have other people direct
Clerks
them.
Clerks is solid, though. Clerks is actually just like a good all-around, like, overall movie.
Yeah, it's an indie movie from the 90s about gay cowboys who eat pudding.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So do we actually have any gaming stuff to talk about today?
All I've been hearing is Shade Spire hype.
Shade Spire.
And the exclusive deal with Asmodee North America has been shitting the bed as expected with Alliance.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, whatever. It's like Alliance is all, it's a shit company, and Asmodee is a shit company, and you put two lumps of shit together, guess what you got?
A bigger pile of shit. Yeah, they have an exclusive, and they're still unable to keep up with demand or get the product out on time or restock the product in any sort of capacity. So
yeah.
I still have people looking for it for me, and I'm just like, I can't help you.
It's like, why do we even bother with this hobby? Like, these people, like, they get together like, oh, we're going to make it easier to distribute all of this shit that you love. And then they just make it more difficult.
I think there is an actual problem in gaming companies of too many gamers.
Too many cooks?
No, not too many cooks, but...
Too many cooks?
Too many gamers. Too many cooks will spoil the broth.
Too many gamers. Yeah, let's get rid of some of these gamers.
It's just there's too many people who are interested in it from like the hobby aspect and not from the business aspect. So you have guys who are just like, oh, yeah, you know, make like 30. That sounds like a lot. And it's like, no, that's not a lot.
Oh, you mean like the people who create the games are like. Yeah,
I think the people who create the games are too involved in all steps of the way. Like, yeah. There's no like, I don't know.
You don't have
no matter what. They're always every game company is the same, and they always are underproduced. Like, if some game comes out and it's going to be hot, like Gloomhaven is a great example. Gloomhaven was fucking insane, like super fire, and they couldn't make nearly enough to come up with the demand. So. Instead of just taking orders and then making a huge print run, They're like, we're going to go back to Kickstarter, and we're going to use Kickstarter to make another print run. And it's like, you just sold out of a giant print run that you couldn't get enough of. Why are you going back to Kickstarter? And like, you listen to the guys talk about the game, and like, and just like, you guys have absolutely no idea what you're doing. Like, from the business end.
You have no business acumen.
That, exactly. Like, the business acumen is just not there in this industry, like, at all. Like, it's just not there. Like, there's no, there's
you know what, Steve? I think in most businesses, like, there's, in most industries, there's no business acumen. It's just a bunch of people trying to grope their way through it.
Sure, but there's, like, basic, like, there's so many, like, because the thing is, there's no learning either. Like, it's just the same.
Oh, yeah, no one learns anything.
It's just the same thing over and over and over. And, like, I don't understand it. There's levels of understanding when it comes to, like, oh, yeah, you didn't make enough of this game, turned out to be hot, you got caught with your pants down, which is fair. That's actually a fair thing to happen. Well, because
yeah, because especially with, like, a non, non-licensed game, like, you don't know if Scythe is going to be hot. Like, right. It's a giant mech game. You don't know for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's got some hotness in the name, but how many people really know game designers aside from people who are really into it?
Right. So, like, the first wave being poopy.
Or if it's Rainier Kinesia.
Rainier Kinesia.
Kinesia.
No, what's his name? The other guy's the hot guy who works for Cool Mini.
Jim Parsons.
It's not Jim Parsons. The Alan Parsons Project.
It's the Jim Parsons Project. Bazooper.
Chaz Topper. Bionicle.
Zimbabwe.
What the fuck's his name? I can't remember his name. But
it that Duncan guy who paints?
No, it's not the Duncan guy who paints. He doesn't work for Cool Mini or not.
Let's. I'm gonna put a pin in Duncan because I want to get back to this, because right, this is something that I've wanted to talk about for a while and I keep on forgetting. Anyway, continue with what you're going.
Duncan's a great meme.
Duncan is a great.
So the if you fuck up the first time, it's like, okay, I get it, but. Doing the exact same thing the second print run is just mind-boggling. I don't understand. That I don't understand. So, like, and every company is guilty. Every company.
No. The second time you're like, okay, maybe the first run was a fluke. The second time, maybe it's not going to be as hot, maybe a lot of co-op. But then if it sells out again in the second run, when you hit the third run, you know what? You might want to up your order a little bit.
Yeah, they'll do it again.
Yeah, they'll do it again.
They just don't produce enough. And For some companies, it makes sense. I think it might, and this is just a guess, but I think some of the indie darling guys, like Scythe specifically, and this only counts for the first run because they should have made plenty of money off the first run to finance the second run, but I think it's actually capital. Like, I think they just don't, like,
they don't have the capital to fund a run.
Right. It's like, they could sell 200,000 copies of, you know, Dildo's Swaggin's Adventure, but they only have
Wait. The guy who's made Scythe made Dildo's Swaggin's Adventure?
No, that's the game I'm making.
Oh, okay.
The only...
The greatest adventure the world has ever known.
But they only have enough money to make 2,000 copies of Dildo's Swaggin's Adventure. So, like, that level, it's like, okay, like, that I understand. But if you don't, you know, if you have, like, a crazy print run, or if you have a good release and you're like, this is the trend for this game, I don't know how you wouldn't be able to get funding to just do a huge print run for the second time.
Yeah, but I mean, if you got funding in the way you owe to your investors, and then it becomes a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems so silly. Like, because you can get get numbers from your customer base before you print if you want.
Yeah.
Like, after the first print run, once the first print run was determined to sell out, like, you know that before it hits the doors anywhere. Like, if I'm shipping a product, I know if it's sold out before it releases. So with Scythe, be like, oh, this product's already sold out. Like, the game is super hype. You start getting orders right away.
Yeah.
Then when the game hits and it sells out super fast and people are like, we need more, you have orders and you go, okay, well, we already have this many orders, so we're just going to start, we're going to get a print run going and we're going to ask to increase it. You know, like, let's get it done. You could do it if you are on top of it, but I think I also believe a lot of them are not prepared for success, especially the small guys. Like,
well, have you seen them?
They mostly look European.
We don't want the Americans playing our games. We want only European playing our games. Our game is all about making wine.
There's
love to our wines.
You mean viticulture? the winemaking game?
I was very upset that Agricola had nothing to do with the sweet, tasty beverage of cola.
Aggressive cola?
Aggressive cola.
That's why I always call it a game. It's an aggressive soda.
It's an aggressive.
The, no, the, That game you're talking about is Viticulture. It's a winemaking game.
We make the wine. First of all, we get the grapes. And then we get swarthy people to stomp them grapes barefoot.
These grapes up off the ground.
What was that?
I'm going to grab these grapes off the ground. So, yeah, there's levels of, like, excusability, and it's past that point with the tabletop industry. And now like an Ouroboros, the tabletop industry is consuming itself because there's too many, because everyone wanted in on the tabletop game action. So yeah. Now there are so many board games, you're just like, it's just a fucking scattershot.
That's our entire humanity right now. It's just a giant Ouroboros culture.
Yeah, capitalism is an Ouroboros. It will eventually consume itself.
Yeah, I mean, we're in late stage capitalism here, folks. They got a what's that movie that they were just previewing? It's something like
Blade Runner.
No, Blade Runner 2049, the worst named movie of all time. Everything now, all sequels will be referred to as whatever 2049.
What about The Search for Curly's Gold?
No, it's been replaced by 2049.
What about Blade Runner 2049, The Search for Curly's Gold?
Okay, well, that's different. No, it's like, oh, are you going to go see Star Wars 2049 coming
out? The Search for Curly's Gold.
God, what is... It's stupid name. I was calling it 2112 the other day. Blade Runner 2112.
I started watching BoJack Horseman.
Back in the 90s, I was on a TV show.
I really like it.
I knew you would like it. It's a great show.
Yeah. The first season was a little, like, the first few episodes were a little eh. But, like, as I was watching more, I was like, oh, this show's actually really good.
Netflix really hasn't had any bad cartoons.
I agree.
I mean, even F for Family.
I like F for Family.
It's good. It's got its moments. Yeah. That new one, Big Mouth, I really enjoy.
I haven't seen that one.
It's I don't know if you'd like it necessarily. It's about a bunch of, like, junior high kids dealing with puberty. So it's like, it's kind of awkward, but at the same time, it's got some really hysterical moments in it. So, I don't recommend it. Like, thumbs up. Joe says great, but it's more like, all right, it's a pass.
Okay.
Yeah. It's passable.
I really like Neo-Yokio.
well, yes, you like Neo-Yokio. But it's not Netflix. That's just Netflix distributed.
No, it's a Netflix original. Netflix actually is making anime now.
Oh.
Netflix hired. So what Neo-Yokio is, it's the first in a series. Well, not a related series, but it's their first project. And what it is it's Netflix funding and producing Japanese companies to create anime specifically for the Western market. So, like, Neo-Yokio is written by a white dude, like some random comedian guy.
Fucking usurping culture.
And
fucking white people, Steve.
And then...
Wait, I shouldn't be swearing. This is a Christian server.
No swearing, sir, please. This is a Christian Minecraft server. I will need to politely yet firmly ask you to leave if you continue to swear. And then they partnered with a Japanese animation firm. So, like, they're like, animate this, get it done. And then the director of animation, I think is Masahiro. It's a Western and Eastern collaboration to create a thing for Netflix, and there's going to be more, and it's pretty sweet. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Unlike the previous Netflix funded anime, which was Knights of Sidonia and there was Knights of Sidonia. Blame, I think, was another one they did, and there's one which were completely Japanese projects, but Netflix produced. So Netflix funded them, but they're 100% Japanese projects. This is a Western project, and it's basically like Jaden Smith's Twitter come to life. It's fucking hilarious. And there's two things about Neo-Yokio. One, the show is not for everyone. And two, the show is definitely for me. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. What is this? What's happening? There's lasers. There's horses. I don't know what's going on. Pyramid Head? I don't even know what this is.
Wait for it. This is from a band that shit the bed a couple years ago. It's called Knights of Sidonia. That's the name of it.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Night Begins. It's Muse. I don't know if you know them. They were a pretty cool kind of like mid to late 2000s, not indie band, but they were, you know, they some solid electronic rock and roll, kind of in that vein. And then they did the theme for like the 2012 London Olympics, and it was all this weird dubstep, and we're like, we're all done with you, Muse. We're done with you.
Yeah, you remember dubstep? That was a weird like 4 years.
Yeah. I don't know. People still like dubstep in a lot of ways. Eh,
now it's all house music or trap music, I believe is what it's called now.
Well,
dubstep has evolved. It has become trap.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, it goes in cycles. I mean, like, emo music's back right now.
It seems like the Chainsmokers is the big thing. And it's like, there's that guy who did just the generic Chainsmokers song. And it's like, oh, it sounds exactly like a Chainsmokers song.
Kind of. Chainsmokers is kind of like an early 20s thing right now. Like, a lot of people who are in their early 20s like the Chainsmokers. It's just one of those, it's ever-evolving music. And that doesn't mean anything. You like what you like. There's nothing out right now that I like. I've just been listening to a lot of Tom Petty, God rest his soul.
And the Heartbreakers, indeed.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I was listening to it. I'm like, God damn it. Tom Petty just took every single person who was way more talented than him and broke their songs down to 3 minutes and 5 seconds and made a shit ton of money off of them. He would take like Dylan songs and be like, all right, let's just make this a little easier to listen to.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, all right, we're going to take all of Eric Clapton's rock licks, and we're gonna make that an easier to listen to song. It's not going to be a 12-minute version of Layla.
And it checks out.
Yeah. But,
got me on my knees, Layla.
We're gonna make it acoustic, and we're going to make it suck now.
I don't like Tom Petty. I never liked Tom Petty.
How do you not like Tom Petty? American Girl is probably one of the greatest... opening guitar riffs of all time.
I don't like Tom Petty. I don't know. I don't hate Tom Petty, but I just don't like Tom Petty. Although, I did really like the music video with Alice in Wonderland on MTV.
Yeah.
Don't Come Around Here No More.
Don't Come Around Here No More. Well, if it's funny, you listen to Tom Petty, all of his early shit is all like really clever lyrics, like really interesting to listen to. He's funny, he's witty, he's sardonic. And then you get to like the late 80s and he's like, don't come around here no more. And that's all that song is just him repeating that over and over and over again. And you're like, what the fuck? And then you find out
he doesn't want you to come around here no more.
He keeps doing that with every one of his more successful songs. They become less and less, like, lyrical.
Yeah, because he doesn't want you to come around here no more.
That he's like, you don't know how it feels. No, you don't know to be me. And you're just like, holy shit, Tom Petty. Like, you used to do these really...
I used to get him confused with Iggy Pop a lot.
Well, they kind of look similar. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop's got the heroin body.
That's what... When he died, I was at work and was like, oh, man, Tom Petty dies. That sucked. And I was like, the Lust for Life guy? and they're like, what? No.
It's Iggy Pop. He's still going. He's still living...
It's all the heroin.
It's all the heroin, yeah. No, Tom Petty had just, like, Florida trash body. Iggy Pop had, like, heroin body. You know, like when you meet a person from Florida and you're like, holy shit, what drugs is this person on? And you find out they're not on any drugs. You're just like,
they're on Florida.
I'm like, oh my God. My brother-in-law is kind of like that. He's from Florida.
He's on Florida.
But they're like people from Florida are like these weird, like, Innsmouth mutants. Like, they're just like, are you bred with fish people? What's going on here?
It checks out.
Yeah. I just reread Secret of Innsmouth. And it holds. It's got to be one of my more favorite of his stories. I think it's his best crafted.
All right.
Most racist, but still better crafted.
All right. Is that the one with the Negro eggs?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't think it gets much more racist than that.
I found out from just doing some research because a lot of people comment, like, if you bring up Lovecraft online, everyone will just immediately say, "Oh yeah, that racist guy." And it turns out that yes, his depiction of black people is incredibly racist.
I believe he was a baseline for the time.
No, actually he wasn't.
A little more or a little less.
He was a little more. Like, it turns out that there was a lot of like his contemporaries going, dude, you gotta stop.
You gotta chill with that.
It's not. Well, I mean, okay, so he's from like Rhode Island. He never left there. How many black people live in Rhode Island?
It's true.
You know, it's like, how many people are you going to meet of a different race living in Rhode Island? Except like maybe the Portuguese.
In Portugal, I was cardiologist.
I don't blame him. Like, if you look at the circumstances around his youth, he was very, you know.
I believe you mean to say Ute.
Ute. He was very insular, but you know, you got to hand it to him. His contemporaries called him out on it, and they said, "Dude, you can't be that racist." All except Robert Howard, who was just like, "I'm a man."
Robert Howard. Yeah, Robert Howard's fucking crazy.
I have the greatest mustache of all time.
That dude had massive emotional issues. Yeah. Which is probably why he killed himself, but, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, it turns out that a lot of, like, people's, like, problems with it is that one of Lovecraft's big, like themes is, hey, don't have sex outside of your race. Like, people took it as, like, you know, when he talks about interbreeding, it's not necessarily about people breeding with fish people. It's just about breeding outside your own race. So... Yeah, and in reading that, I'm like, fair, okay. I mean, because I'm a white guy, so I am so blind to, like, all of the shit that goes on around me.
I mean, to be fair, you have a podcast, so the chances of you being a middle-aged white guy are 100%.
100%. Or else I'm one of those girls who's like, I'm really into video games. Isn't that cool?
It's not a podcast.
I know.
They don't do
video casts.
That would be if you were a Twitch streamer. But you'd need to be at a certain level of, like, there's, like, you can't just default be a girl. You have to have a certain level of you have to be all at the right levels.
Oh, okay. You can't be too high in any of the...
Yeah, you have to be at the right balance. It's about balance.
It's about balance. Okay. All right. But yeah, I'm a white guy, so things blow past me. I'm like, oh, he's talking about don't breed with fish people. I got it, Lovecraft. I understand.
Yeah, like, turns out, no.
And then the guy next to me goes, he just looks at me and just shakes his head. And I'm like, what? What? And he's like, it's not about the fish people. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm really sorry. I'm like, I don't mean to be an asshole. I just don't know better. I just think the world belongs to me. Because I'm a middle-aged white guy.
That's right. My opinion matters. Everyone listens to me.
Nuts and gum.
Nuts and gum. As you just chaw into a big pile of nuts and gum.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's... I love Lovecraft. It's I kind of see what people are saying, though.
There are a lot of warts.
Like, but when you say, like, oh, yeah, he's baseline for the time, you always think that Lovecraft, because he's writing about the 1920s, like... Or, you know...
No, I was saying I think he has the love... Like, due to his, like, background and time, he is the correct level of racist for who he was, where he was, what time he lived.
Yeah, that's what I'm
talking about.
Yeah, no, it's like... Well, he died in, like, what, 36? So, right. Like, yeah.
Yes, you're going to be turbo racist if you're, like... If you're from Rhode Island and you're a white dude, like, you're going to be that level of racist.
I wish...
That's just the way it is.
I mentioned this on the last cast, but I've been rereading it. Every time he mentions, like... people from, like, Innsmouth or something like that, I just imagine them having, like, thick Boston accents. Like, I had sex with that fish person over there.
She squirted her eggs on the ground and had a jizz on them.
That was wicked messed up.
It was really gross.
But I got laid, no problems.
Yeah, you know. I still got there, hey, Vinny.
Vinny. Sully.
Sully.
Hey, Sully. And I'm going to go buy myself a pack of smokes over it and go to Dunkies.
You did it wrong. You just got to get it in the cloaca.
Those are the bird people.
Oh, I thought I was banging a fish, Goyle.
Goyle.
Eddie, can I still be your Goyle?
You want to actually talk about Shadespire or anything like that, or... we were talking a little bit about it.
There is a lot of hype behind Shadespire, like an impressive amount of hype behind Shadespire. I have people who normally don't give a shit about miniatures games, like, going like, hey, dude, have you seen this Shadespire game? Like, it looks really good. So,
yeah. Talking with some people that I've talked with. Now, I don't like the game just because I think it's too gamey. So I'm a little biased.
Right.
And
that is their goal.
Yeah. And
it's just like X-Wing is very gamey.
Yeah. The one thing that I have heard is that Games Workshop just doesn't have it in them to keep promoting this game. This game will not last that long. This is not going to be a long-term promoted game like Age of Sigmar or Warhammer 40K. It's going to have its initial splash releases, and then, yeah, it might be kept up to date every, like, But it's not going to be enough to keep the hype going for it.
Who knows? I believe that stance would change if the game catches on.
It could, but you know what? What game has Games Workshop ever, like, seriously kept up with? Like,
They've never had a game break out of the miniatures hobby level, though.
The specialist games.
And Games Workshop's very popular. Like, their games are big, but their games are big with Games Workshop fans. Like, yeah. They don't have...
Except the video games. For some odd reason, people love their video games.
Video games. Well, the video games got it. Like, so many people got into 40K because of Dawn of War.
For the Emperor.
They've never had that, like, miniatures game or one of their games break out. Arguably Space Hulk. I know people who own Space Hulk who don't have any miniatures at all, because it's more of a board game. But I think
I'm going on Overwatch.
This is their, like, one thing that if this breaks out, and this would be their first game that goes into, like, mainstream nerdism.
You think that will do it?
I don't know. There's a lot of people talking about it, and a lot of people I didn't expect to be talking about it. Like, I've got guys who are like, there's like Magic. Like, if you can integrate your game to be a Magic player's side game, like if that's where your game ends up, that's an amazing space
to
be.
Come on, baby, you're just gonna be my side game.
Well, yeah, that's what Ascension was for the longest time. Like, Ascension was like when you were playing in a Magic tournament, like between round, like when Ascension was new, fucking every single tournament you'd walk around and, like, between rounds, there's people playing Ascension. Just, like, everyone's playing Ascension. It's like, oh, this is a fucking game. So if you could get to something that's, like, that level, because that's there's a lot of crossover between Magic players and X-Wing players. I don't know if you knew that, but I did not know that. When I went to...
Makes me like X-Wing less.
When I went to Adepticon, when I was cruising around, I went to where they were having their X-Wing tournament thing, and, like, I recognized half the people playing there, and I was like, what the hell? Like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, oh, we're playing X-Wing. And I'm like, what?
They should incorporate X-Wing into Magic, or Magic into X-Wing.
They wouldn't do that because Wizards of the Coast and Asmodee are not on friendly terms.
No, they're like the Jets and the Sharks.
They are. When you're a Jet, you're a Jet all your way. From your first cigarette to your last dying day. Yeah, so we'll see. I think there's a lot of hype behind it. People are excited about it. A lot of people are looking for that style of game. Like, they're trying to make a game to compete with X-Wing is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Will it like compete at the same level of X-Wing? Not really, but it's a weird.
Well, I mean, here's the positives. You know, the pre-orders actually go up today, which is Saturday. This will go up on Sunday. But the pre-orders start today. It's only $70.
Yeah.
Which is
very cheap.
A Games Workshop box set is incredibly cheap. You only get like 10 minis in it, not even. I think you get
I think you get the Stormcast and the Khorne, and then you get a whole bunch of cards.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 Khorne models, 3 Stormcast, but you do get Vandas.
Hammerhand.
No, not Vandas Hammerhand. Fuck, what's his name? A Steel Soul.
Oh, that's what it
is. Steel Soul. I love that book. I love those books. I know I sent you, I gave you the audiobooks, but God, that guy reading it is fantastic.
He's super good.
I just want to shake his hand. I would like to meet him, and I hope that he's like this, like, Brian Blessed.
Like this.
No, I hope he's like a Brian Blessed type.
Oh, nice.
Like, giant British guy with a large beard who smokes like a pipe. It's like, Vandas Hammerhand.
You're like, you're the guy who reads the Warhammer books. You want to be able to look at him and go like, I bet that guy reads Warhammer books.
Exactly. Like, with the big beard, he's got like the big hawk wings in the back. And
oh,
he's
for
like,
sure.
You're like, it's Hawkman.
Brian Blessed looks like he reads Warhammer books.
He does. He's getting old, but he's now he actually just does voiceovers on Peppa Pig. But the
you know, they had to pull an episode of Peppa Pig from Australia
because of the spiders.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's because British spiders are all dainty and they drink tea. Australian spiders kill you.
Yes, or do massive neurological damage.
Yes. Yeah. The well, it's all right. It's mainly because all of Australia's population like lives in 3 little blips on the map. So.
Sure. Well, most of Australia is pretty uninhabitable. Yes.
Well, yeah, it's full of Australians, so of course it's going to be uninhabitable.
Well, no, that part's like, you know, just painful living.
I've watched Mad Max. I know what Australia is like, Steve.
I need the kerosene.
Who will run Murder Town?
Just walk away. Just walk away.
I think I want to go as Lord Humongous for Halloween at one point.
Yeah.
Just straight up with the fucking jock strap and hockey mask.
Yeah.
Just let it all hang out.
Yeah. I'm gonna.
I would do it at a Halloween party specifically.
I'll go as the gyrocopter pilot.
Nice.
Actually, I was thinking what I really wanted to go as for Halloween this year is Elton John from his Muppet Show appearances.
That's very specific.
Very specific. But I've been rewatching the Muppet Shows with my kids, and Elton John Muppet Show is one of my favorite episodes of all time. It's just amazing because they just do his entire catalog of songs. Like, it's probably one of the most song heavy episodes I've seen. But I mean, him and Miss Piggy doing "Don't Go Breaking My Heart." And I'm like, this
don't
is...
Don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried.
Ooh, Kermit.
And at the end, she's like, take that, Kiki. And I'm like, ah, it's a Kiki D reference. Nice. But I was like, no kid's going to get this. Like, and that's the thing I think most people miss with the Muppets is, like, the Muppet Show was very, very straightforward. Like, they didn't... Like, when they would do, like, a song parody, they wouldn't, like, change the lyrics or anything. They would just do the song, but in funny voices. And I think that's what it was missing from a lot of the modern Muppet stuff.
That's what they did in Muppet Babies. Muppet Babies did the same thing. They had songs, but it was the Muppet Baby singing it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, Muppet Babies was very popular.
They changed no lyrics or anything. It was the same exact thing.
I also like Muppet Babies when they would, like, put in the live-action movie
clips. Yeah, like they'd be running with Indiana Jones. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Or like they'd open up a door and it would be like Mola Ram.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what kids are watching Temple of Doom?
I liked Muppet Babies. That was a show I fucking totally loved as a kid.
Muppet Babies?
Oh, yeah, I loved Muppet Babies.
Make your dreams come true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were all orphans, though. That's...
They were with Nanny.
Or was that just like a daycare?
Like the
Muppet parents?
I don't know, because they called the adult Nanny, and she was just legs.
Yeah.
So I assume they were actually...
She was some sort of Gorg.
Yeah. Well, I believe if you panned the camera up, she would just be legs.
Oh, just yeah. All the way up.
Like, well, like, and then, like, the... But it would... Once you get to the, like, where the legs should stop, it's just another set of legs facing the other direction.
Oh, no. I was thinking that, like she's only observable as legs. So, like, the further you go up, it just keeps going as legs because at the moment you're not observing it, the legs are no longer there.
I mean, that's also
she's
fair.
Like, it's like quantum legs.
It could
legs.
Be both.
Yeah.
She could either be a horrible dual-legged monstrosity or quantum legs. Whatever you prefer.
Whatever you prefer. There's no
rules in Muppet Babies. I believe it was a daycare because they were all together and they called her Nanny. So that's the only sensical thing.
Probably a daycare, like... While the Muppet parents worked
yeah.
all day long to afford the daycare.
In the fluff mines.
Yeah, in the fluff mines, they had to get they put their kids in daycare because that's the cruel American world we live in.
You're going
to
work this off in the acid mines.
Not the acid mines. I wanted to – what I was saying about the Shades of Fire. So they got the four war bands coming out, which is great because they're actually – new sculpts. They're not like
yeah, they're awesome.
They're not just repackages. They're new sculpts.
Yeah, they're fucking
new stuff. So it's like awesome. You're gonna get like cool models for how much you're paying for
those,
it.
Those undead are fucking sick.
Yeah, they're very rackem.
They're awesome.
And then so cool. That's coming out. That's great. So are they gonna keep doing it? Because right now GW is shitting the bed on Age of Sigmar. They are like they haven't had a release since Caradon Overlords. No rules updates since then. I mean, they had the General's Compendium and Firestorm Armada.
I actually have to get that still, the Firestorm campaign. That thing looks really sweet.
Yeah. So you get those two. Fine. That's great. But rules. The game needs rules. Don't put out campaign books. Don't be bolt action. Don't be bolt action. Because that's all they've been putting out is campaign books. And the only people who really like those are Grognardy people. So there you go. And they also put the bolt action models have been so shitty. Like, so shitty. I don't own any bolt action models. So, yes, on that end. But we'll have to see if they keep putting stuff out for it. I mean, seriously, if you put out a warband, you know, once every 2 months for it, let's say. Well, how about once every 3 months you put out a new warband of 3 to 5 models? That's a completely sustainable...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You have to constantly keep up on the rules because there's cards and everything that are involved
sure,
with it.
But still.
Yeah. I mean, and you could do multiple Stormcast warbands.
Also, because it's card-based, if something breaks, you can ban it.
Yeah. And
like if the card is too good, like you'd just be like, banned.
That would be different. That'd be difficult for GW. GW is not one to ban things.
We'll have to see. Like this is a new frontier for them. Like they could fall flat on their face or not.
Yeah, the new frontier that we're not allowed to watch because it's behind a CBS paywall.
Behind the paywall. only because we live in America, because if you're fucking anywhere else, you just watch it on Netflix.
I love the articles about it. They're like, hey, yeah, we're going to give CBS a try, CBS paywall a try. It's a nightmare. Apparently, it's the worst streaming service ever.
That's great.
And so I look on my bootleg site where I get all my bootleg movies from. And I'm like, oh, Discovery's down there. I'll just wait till it all comes out and I'll just watch it all.
Yeah.
Because apparently it is, all right. It's not great. It's, some people are, they're not loving it.
It's a Star Trek show, so the chances of it being good in the first season are really low.
That is correct. And I've had that thought. However, it, I don't know about you, but I like my Trek where it's a little more standalone episode-y.
You like the episodic? Well, then you're probably not going to like it.
Yeah. Like, I like the Next Generation where it's like I could sit down and I'd be like, ooh, this is the one where they debate about gay marriage. Great.
I like I'm a fan of the connected stories, but I think Deep Space Nine did it best.
Yeah.
Because Deep Space Nine had, like, arcs. Like, the season was an arc.
Yeah.
Like, they started doing. I think that's really good because I like having digestible chunks. I think that's why Battlestar ended up being in the end failing, because it was just the one long story. I don't think they wrote the story.
No, they didn't. And I will never forgive them for that.
Yeah.
Because not having a good ending on a show like that was unforgivable. That's a sin.
It was
like
pretty
Lost.
Bad.
Lost is the same way. I was the biggest Lost fan ever. I would go on boards.
I heard Lost's ending was awful.
Oh, it was terrible. I would go on boards from week to week and discuss and talk about, like, plot revelations and, like, our theories. And then, like, when the final season came out, I was just like, they don't know what they're doing.
They have no idea what they're doing.
And I just, like, I lost all respect for that show, and I haven't watched it since. And it's a shame because I love that show. The first three seasons, I think, are fantastic. But, yeah, whatever.
But my one comment about Discovery specifically, without having seen it, I am annoyed that it's not after Voyager. Like, why do they keep doing...
Was it, like, prequel stuff?
Right. Like, Enterprise is fine. Like, I actually ended up really liking Enterprise. By the time Enterprise was over, I was like, I actually wanted more. I was
it's
like,
it's because they went retro with it at the end, which was nice.
Right. So, like...
As long as they played with the timeline. Like, this Discovery doesn't look like anything.
Yeah, right. So, like, specifically Discovery is, like, it's happening after Enterprise but before the original series. So, it's kind of like, why? Like, why didn't you just put it after Voyager? Like, instead of redesigning the Klingons weirdly, why don't you just make that a new alien race that this thing, because they only did the Gamma, the Alpha, and the Delta quadrant, right?
Yeah,
they never did the Beta.
Well, the Alpha and the Beta quadrant are kind of hand in hand, because so the Alpha and the Beta quadrant are actually divided on the Earth solar system.
Okay,
so that's how they divide up the Alpha and the Beta. So, you know, the Beta Quadrant is mostly Klingon.
Okay.
Like the Klingon Empire. Not really, because, I mean, it's a small chunk of the entire galaxy.
Right, right.
But,
it's
yeah.
It's fucking huge.
So the Federation actually exists in the Alpha and Beta Quadrant. The Gamma is the Dominion, and the Delta is mostly Borg and that stupid...
Weird shit.
Yeah, the one of the people who are falling apart.
Oh, the Varen? No, I can't remember what their name is. Shit.
The Vern.
George Costanza fixed them.
Yeah. The Vern. Hey, Vern.
What the fuck were they?
Your notes fell off.
Plague Race. Hang on. I'm going to look at this. Plague Race Voyager. That'll bring
the
it up.
Janeways.
Sure. There's coffee in that nebula.
fresh coffee.
Vidian.
The Vidians?
The Vidians. Yes, the Vidian Plague Race who were steal. That was like
they
one
would
of the
steal organs.
Yeah, steal organs to keep themselves alive. And then, like, if you missed the episode with George Costanza in it, you don't realize that, like, their phage was cured.
Yeah.
Like, by George Costanza, which is fucking insane. Like, that's a huge plot point that I really wish they would have, like, went back and, like, talked about a bit, because it was like fucking the doctor was in love with one of them and, like, she, like, left because she's like, I have to go back and help save my people from this horrible disease. Like, the disease is cured. Fucking go get her.
Steve, Voyager was a terrible show.
So mad.
Yeah. And they had Kes on and they were just like, Hand wave Cass.
Well,
and then she went crazy.
No, they hand waved her because she went crazy.
Yeah.
they didn't hand wave her due to the writers. That was because the actress was having some serious emotional issues.
Yeah.
Voyager was like, there's a lot of solid episodes. And then like the overall thing is like Voyager was like so close to doing amazing shit, which was, and I think it was held back because of the episodic nature. Like Tuvix. Tuvix would have been an amazing, like,
but
character.
But Tuvix was never designed to be anything more than an episode of the week.
I know, but that's so annoying.
But they would do overarching stories. They just would never do anything with them, like the Year of Hell or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like, they were terrible with it. And all the stuff with the Species 8241.
8472, the fluidic space,
yes,
people.
Which is great, but they would never, like... Like, oh, the Borg are afraid of him. Oh, great. Something else that the Borg has a weakness to.
Yeah, because they're from fluidic space. Like, I would have been cool to have some more exploration in fluidic space. But that's what it is. It's like, I liked the world building that Voyager did.
Yeah,
they,
I mean, well,
they added a lot of cool stuff.
Everything that the Star Trek does is great world building. It's just terrible. Like, Voyager was just terrible. I'm not a huge fan theory fan. I generally think that fan theories are pretty shitty. Like, if a show can't sustain itself and needs a fan theory, it's not worth watching.
I mean, there's fan theories for fucking everything, though.
True. Well, but one of the better ones that I have seen was about Voyager, and it was about why the fuck did they give Janeway an admiralship? You know, like in Nemesis, you find out she's an admiral, right? She's the one who delivers the thing to Picard. It's like,
right?
You know, go get Shins on or whatever. And it's like, well, why the fuck? Because if they looked at her records from what she did in the Delta Quadrant, she should be drummed up on 8,000 court-martials. Granted, because of the situation, she'd probably be, you know...
Okay.
But still, she'd have to go through, like, 8,000 court-martials.
Yeah, there would be a tribunal or a hearing, like, at least one.
Yeah.
To at least be like, we're going to bypass all of these things for you, but all of these actions are going to remain on your record, kind of thing.
Yeah. So they did a great job with that, the person who wrote this theory was like, the reason why she became an admiral was so that they can just put her at a desk and not let her out of their sight because she's awful. It's the same thing they did to Kirk. It's like, all right, Kirk, 5-year mission, great. You fucked up a lot of shit. Yeah, it broke every rule.
You fucked shit up, Mr.
Yeah,
Kirk.
Yeah, you broke the prime directive like 800 times in one season. That's fine. We're going to make you an admiral. And so they make him an admiral, and he causes more trouble. And so they're like, fine, we're going to give you your ship back with all these old people. It's an old ship. It's not even top of the line anymore. You can just do whatever you want. And, you know.
And they find V'ger.
Well, no, that's like part of the one where he fucks up.
Yeah.
You know, like where he's the admiral, he fucks up. But then in 4, where they demote him down to, or yeah, at the end of 4, where they demote him down to captain again, he's like, okay. You fucked up enough as admiral. We're going to give you a captain, and we're going to give you a ship without anybody. And then they go make him ambassador to the Klingons in Star Trek VI. And you're like, didn't you guys learn anything about this?
They didn't.
The Klingons killed his son.
They didn't. Well, the best fan theory I read was not necessarily a fan theory, but like an observation about Star Trek and specifically about humanity.
What's that?
And it was talking about how like. If you think of it from the outside perspective of the other aliens and look at humanity, fucking people are like the most terrifying thing. And like they're thinking,
oh, yeah,
like maybe it's just like all of the crazy shit that like the Next Generation crew and like all of the like human crew gets into is exclusively human because humans are not rigid like the other races are. So like a Vulcan can be talking to a Klingon about it and be like, yeah, I heard he used a phonics converter to put it in the transporter. And then they had a creature come out for life from their holodeck. And it's just like, good God.
Well, it's like you think about
so
it.
So everyone's afraid of humanity.
So the Vulcans are like, yeah, have you seen these humans? And they're like, no, what are they? Their planet has all these different ecosystems. So it's not just a big desert red moon like Vulcan is. No, they have like snow and desert and rainforest. Oh, so they only live in like a certain part of it. No, they live everywhere. They can live in any environment. That's terrifying. They're not just a planet with hats. Yeah. No, they have everything.
With hats.
Yeah, it's like they actually had to create a universal translator because they have so many languages on their planet. What, they just don't have Earthen? No, they have lots of different languages. They had to create something so they could all talk to each other. Well, that must have been difficult for their politics. Yeah, there's like 800 different nations on that planet. What, there's not just one unified planet? Yeah, and they have fingernails. What are... are those like nails that you put boards together with? No, they're like claws. Humans have claws.
Okay, I like that idea that like the crazy shit and the madness that like only happens on human vessels. So yeah. Like, if you were to watch like a show about like a Vulcan vessel, it would be the most boring ever.
Yeah.
It would just be seven seasons of them like just, you know, kind of
doing a planetary survey.
Yeah, just doing a survey, looking around, and like nothing ever eventful happening to them. And when anything eventful did happen, they followed it, but they were able to solve it by the book.
you haven't started watching The Orville yet, have you?
I have not.
I highly recommend it. Especially because the episode of the week, Star Trek stuff, you know, it's like a carbon copy of Next Gen, but just with silly humor put into it. The helmsman is playing a joke on this cyborg that they have on the ship, who's like, you know, their navigator or whatever. I don't even know what his role is. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the Spock, but he's like an alien who thinks he's better than everyone else because he's a computer life form.
Mm-hmm.
So while the alien is recharging, the guy sticks Mr. Potato Head pieces on his face because it's just like a blank face. So it makes him look like he has a face, and everyone laughs at him. He goes, "That's a practical joke. Now you got to do something back to me." So while the guy's asleep, the alien goes in there and cuts off his leg and hides it. And the guy's like, "You're insane." He goes, "Yes, I hit it. Now you have to go find it. That's my joke." Yeah, it's pretty good. I know some people don't like it, but if you're a fan of Next Gen, you'd like it. So it's the only show I'm currently watching until like The Flash comes back. That's it. We talked about Next Gen no gaming this cast.
There's really not a lot of gaming to talk about.
Well, it's the auction this weekend, so I didn't get a chance to. We haven't gone to that yet, so we don't know. Any predictions on what do you think everyone's going to be dumping?
War Machine.
You think people are still going to be dumping that?
I don't think they've gotten rid of all of it yet.
There wasn't much in the last auction
that
I went to. There wasn't a ton of War Machine. I think because, you know, War Machine, they got that new edition sucking. I don't know if Flames is going to be dumped yet. I know they got a new edition.
I think that game's probably stabilized. It's probably gotten to the point where everyone who has it wants it, and no one's going to get rid of it at this point.
Well, the new edition is supposed to be pretty good, and it's mid-war. It's mid-war, so everything that was from, like, 1941 to 1942.
Sweet.
That's how they break apart the war, Steve. So people are
I fucking hate World War II games.
No, you don't. You love Wolfenstein.
I mean, Wolfenstein's cool, but that's the most loosely World War II game you could possibly mention.
That's true. If you say you're a game about fighting Nazis, they could say, "Oh, is it based in 2017?"
Actually, that's a humorous anecdote because the current
you saw
the current brouhaha with the, like, just think of how fucked up the country is when a game where you fight literal Nazis ad campaign is get rid of the Nazis and people are like, "I'm boycotting this game."
Well, it's they said. Make
America Nazi free
again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, "I'm boycotting this game." It's like, that's your response? Like, that's your response to that?
Yeah, it's like, just relax, okay? We don't...
Well, they can't relax because they're Nazis, John.
Yes. I mean, the world is fucked. We got America where... Every day it's something. I can literally not get out of bed without hearing about some fucked up thing that happened in America. I know we're more interconnected and we're safer than ever, but it's just like, what the fuck? And it's like, I can't even argue with it because it's like, people don't even
pissing into the wind, sir. It's pissing into the wind.
Exactly. Like, I can't have a conversation with people because they post memes as comebacks, and I'm like,
you've been defeated.
I've been defeated by copypasta.
Yep.
Because at that point, it's like, my brain just goes, it's not worth it. So, I mean, like, I post mostly about safe stuff, like, "Hey, guys, we shouldn't like Nazis." And most people agree.
Turns out that's not safe anymore.
It's not safe
anymore. That's a very strong political stance.
It's like, oh, my God. That's like
my favorite current internet argument is like there's like a picture of people walking with Nazi armbands and it's like someone's like, "You should probably not have Nazis in America," and someone like inevitably is like, "Well, they aren't really Nazis."
The actually guy
it's like, "Well, actually they aren't really Nazis." It's like, yes they are.
Yeah,
you are actually wrong.
And then you go to Australia and they're having a plebiscite whether or not to have gay marriage. You shouldn't really ask people whether or not they should have gay marriage. We should have a smart enough political leadership. We go, you know what?
Smart politicians. Well, I mean,
just to like, we shouldn't have people who say, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't give people rights. You're like, no, not in this day and age. It's 2017. Let's give people rights. And then you go to like Spain and they're like, they're fighting each other. I don't know what the hell's going on with there.
Yeah, there's like some coup going on or something.
No, Catalan is voted for their independence. So they were like, we're voting for our independence. And Spain was like, no, you're not. And so Spain went in there and cracked skulls. And, you know, everyone's like, no, Spain shouldn't do that. And then you're like, wait a second. I know nothing about Catalan. Are they getting separate because of racist things? Because if they are, like, you don't know. Like, I'm not from Catalan.
Yeah, I can't say. But if it's a similar thing to, like, Texas wanting to leave the United States, like, I would be all for that.
Yeah.
That would be the best. Because Texas would, that'd be the biggest self-own in American history outside of voting for Donald Trump. Like, there's levels of self-ownage and a state as reliant on the federal government as Texas is to leave the federal government.
Well, they do have their own power grid.
Would be a glorious cell phone.
The United States has three power grids, the East, the West, and Texas. And it's all failing. It's crumbling infrastructure because no one wants to pay taxes. Because for some odd reason, a meme was made saying taxation is theft. And people are stupid enough to believe that. No, taxation is roads. Like, you go to Indiana, they have crumbling roads. They've been working on the interstate for nigh on 12 years. You don't want to know why? Because they can't afford to keep fixing it.
Well, taxation is theft because a guy who makes $90 million a year doesn't want to pay an extra $1 million.
Well, exactly. It's like, I don't make that much.
Taxation is theft if you're, you know, not above the poverty line.
Yeah.
And they are definitely stolen from.
Yeah. I'm above the poverty line. I don't mind paying taxes, Steve. You know why? I kind of like public services. They're not great, but they're good enough.
I don't use any public services other than nothing.
You use the road. You were educated by the public school system.
Or was I? I actually went to private school for most of my growing up. Take that!
Yes, but people...
It was a Catholic school. I had to go to church during school. Well, it fucking sucked.
Well, there you go. And the churches don't pay taxes.
Interestingly enough, one of the things that slowly drove me towards being an atheist.
Well, yeah, most people do. It does with most people. However, I went to public school, and we are having a conversation right now because, and you could enjoy my wit and flavor because of my public school upbringing.
You're just saying, what you just said was the biggest proponent for getting rid of taxes that I've ever heard.
No, taxes are not theft. Taxes pay for the things around you. They pay for the internet.
I would agree if I could opt out of specific things, like, you know.
I would love to opt out of specific things, but we can't. That's just the way that we live. And to boycott that, I mean, to pay more in taxes, not necessarily a great thing. I think, you know, there should be public debate about it. And there shouldn't. But what there shouldn't be is big don't tread on me flags flying around and people saying, taxation is theft. And then you're like,
well, the best is they usually have like they have the black flag with the blue line and then the snake don't tread on me. And it's like, those are actually the people who are going to tread on you. Like, the best was the blue flag with come and take it on it. And it's like, those will be the people coming to take your guns.
My favorite thing is the snake with the big foot on it. And it says, I specifically asked for the opposite of this.
That's good.
Yes, but that's my rant. It's just like, it's like, come on, people. Is there a fast forward button? Can we get to the 2018 midterms already? It just kind of,
yeah. Taxes are too high on people who don't make a fuck ton of money, and taxes are too low on people who make a shit ton of money.
I agree with that. But you know, we keep voting for the people who make a shit ton of money to be our politicians.
Well, I mean, with gerrymandering, it's pretty impossible to do anything.
The Supreme Court though is going to rule on gerrymandering.
Thanks, Arnold.
Yes, Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is a campaign against gerrymandering.
I wish he was at the Supreme Court arguing against it. He's stupid.
I think he did, actually.
The reason why we shouldn't have gerrymandering is because you could get someone like Tulsa Doom as president.
I actually think he did go to...
Where's Justice Ginsburg?
Washington about gerrymandering. So we'll see. But yeah, we need to fix our broken political system first.
Do you want to hear about the greatest rumor of all time about Arnold Schwarzenegger that I've heard?
Sure.
So Netflix, one of their new business models for the next year is, you know, how they want to create all this content with like billions of dollars in content that they want to build. One of the things that they were talking about was creating movies that have been stalled for a very long time, like movies that have been in production or whatever, like they can't get made.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that they talked about in the article was King Conan.
No shit.
Yeah. Fucking they didn't say specifically that Netflix was looking to make King Conan, but they said... It's a movie like Conan the Conqueror or whatever they were calling it. I was like, Oh, shit.
That's fucking sweet.
That would be so sweet. If they could get John Milius to do it. Well, I think Basil Pallidoris is dead, but still.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Commandthrow.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. Best way you can help out the podcast, like and subscribe on iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. You can listen to our sister podcast. Actually, I fucked up on the YouTube last time. I put the wrong audio with on the file. I meant to fix it, but I'm just lazy, man. I'm on a lot of muscle relaxers. But you can also listen to our sister podcast, Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat, what did you talk about last time?
I don't remember.
Was it the Master System? Was that
there was? I think there was some Master System talking.
The Sega Master System. Woo! And Steve selling off all of his Nintendo stuff.
That's gone.
Except that I see a Kirby up there.
Yeah, that Kirby's cute.
Pat bought that for me.
Pat bought that for you?
Yeah.
Nice. Good old Pat. Pat's up in the frozen north right now, I think. I usually think he's in Wisconsin, but he was up in Minnesota for a while. Also Weebtown, where Steve and young Giuseppe talk about all things Kyoto.
Okay.
So, Steve, until next time.
See ya.
Game Classy.